Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, January 13th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 22 through 40, and then we'll move over to the Psalms and read Psalm 26 and 28, and then we'll read from Isaiah chapter 27. In John chapter 6, verse 22 begins in this way. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day." And now we turn over to the Psalms, Psalm 26 of David. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord." and from Psalm 28 of David. To you I call, O Lord my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back upon them what they deserve. Since they show no regard for the works of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Okay, we're going to move over to the book of Isaiah. We're in Isaiah chapter 27. I want to set it up with a little context first. In the first verse, you're going to hear the word Leviathan. Now, you may have heard of this word before. It's a mythical creature, perhaps from Canaanite myths, and it represents wicked nations such as Egypt, or maybe even here, a judgment against Israel. And then we move into a second vineyard song. If you remember way back in the fifth chapter of Isaiah, there was a vineyard song, but you'll hear lots of language, imagery related to a vineyard as it relates to Israel. And then in 7 through 11, we see what the Lord is going to do with Israel in his judgment. And then in the end of the chapter, in verses 12 and 13, there's a redemption that lies beyond the coming judgment. So let's begin together. Chapter 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the gliding serpent. Leviathan, the coiling serpent, he will slay the monster of the sea. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night, so that no one may harm it. I am not hungry. If only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in battle. I would set them all on fire, or else let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Verse 7. Has the Lord struck her as he struck down those who struck her? Has she been killed as those were killed who killed her? By warfare and exile you contend with her. With his fierce blast he drives her out, as on a day the east wind blows. By this, then, will Jacob's guilt be atoned for, and this will be the full fruitage of the removal of his sin. When he makes all the altar stones to be like chalk stones crushed to pieces, no Asherah poles or incense altars will be left standing. The fortified city stands desolate, an abandoned settlement forsaken like the desert. There the calves graze, there they lie down, they strip its branches bare. When its twigs are dry, they are broken off. The women come and make fires with them, for this is a people without understanding. So their maker has no compassion on them, and their creator shows them no favor. In that day the Lord will thresh from the flowing Euphrates to the Wadi in Egypt, and you, O Israelites,
will be gathered up one by one. And in that day, a great trumpet will sound. Those who were perishing in Assyria and those who were exiled in Egypt will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I'm thinking back to John chapter 6, and yesterday we read about the feeding of the 5,000, and then today we read about Jesus being the bread of life. There's this interesting little point that you might miss if you don't think about it very deeply, but when Jesus did the miracle for the 5,000, what did he do before he distributed the loaves? He gave thanks. And then John describes it again in verse 23. He says about the place where Jesus performed the miracle. It was the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so I think this is instructive for us. Oftentimes I'm guilty of being ungrateful, and I want us just to spend some time in prayer giving thanks to the Lord for all that he is and that all that he has done, and even the things in our life that seem so commonplace, but if they were not there, we would miss them and we would realize what we had taken for granted. So let's pray together. Father, as we enter this time, would you give us clarity in our hearts as we want to be a thankful people? Lord, we recognize that your thanksgiving preceded the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You gave thanks for the gift that had been provided. It seemed like a very meager gift, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, not much, but you multiplied it. And so, Lord, we want to come as a people, not manipulative in our giving thanks, but just genuine in thanking you for what you've done for us. And so, Lord, we want to start with our body. Thank you, Lord, for the physical body that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for eyes to see and hands to feel and feet that can walk. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that lives in us and helps us to walk according to your word. Thank you for the gifts of community and family. Thank you, Lord, for Mountain Brook Baptist Church and the opportunity we have to be your body, whether it be in a transition period where we are worshiping online or when we can gather again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Thank you, Lord, for the sun that rises to remind us of your faithful love. And thank you, Lord, for the many reminders throughout the day that you have not abandoned us, that you are with us. You have given us your spirit as a deposit, and we are looking to the day when we will be with you face to face. We praise you, Lord. On this day, we pray for our pastor. We ask, Lord, that you would cover him with a special anointing today, that you would give him peace and strength. We thank you, Lord, for the many gifts that you have given him. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to use his voice for the gospel to go forward and for our church to learn more about what it means to be yours. We pray, Lord, for the other church staff. We pray, Lord, for the lay membership and leadership of our church. We pray, Lord, as we are making decisions in the new year, that you would give us wisdom and clarity and a passion for your word and for your work to go forward. We love you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.